Hi, this is Nathan W. Bingham, host of Renewing Your Mind, and I want to invite you to join us in Orlando for our Ligonier National Conference. Beginning May 23rd, Christians from around the world will gather to hear biblical teaching and enjoy fellowship together. This year's theme is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Over 3 days, we'll focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. To learn more and register, visit ligonier.org/2024.
The Crosby family arrived in the Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1635. A few centuries later, and many generations later, John and Mercy Crosby welcomed their first child, Frances Jane Crosby, into the world. The year was 1820, and this is the year of the birth of Fanny Crosby, the most prolific hymn writer ever to have lived. By the time she was done, Fanny Crosby would go on to write over, are you ready for this, over 9,000 hymns. Well, when she was just a young child, at 6 weeks old, actually, she had an eye infection. She was treated, or we should say she was mistreated by a doctor. She recovered from the eye infection, but the mistreatment left her blind for the rest of her life. Later that same year, her father died. Her mother, Mercy, raised her alone. She taught her young daughter not to turn to self-pity, but she taught her to be self-sufficient. The Crosby family lived throughout that area of upstate New York and into Massachusetts where young Fanny was raised. She spent time in many of these homes of her relatives. They all had wonderful libraries with books of English literature and books of poetry, and much of her childhood was spent being read to and learning from these books. She also spent a significant amount of time memorizing the Bible. It was said of Fanny Crosby that she had committed whole books of the Bible to memory, and she would often spend the time just sitting down and reciting these books. She also very early on turned to not only reading poetry, but writing poetry. So what we are seeing here is a young hymn writer in the making. In fact, her conversion came, by her own account, by listening to a fellow hymn writer, by listening to a hymn by Isaac Watts, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed. Another moment of significance in Fanny Crosby's life is when her mom sends her to what was then a very young institution, just recently established, the New York Institute for the Blind. This would become a home for a long time for Fanny Crosby. She would spend 12 years there as a student, and then she would spend another 11 years there as a teacher. It was also there that she met Alexander van Alstyne. He was of the Dutch descendants of New York, so while Fanny's family can trace its roots back to the New England Puritans, Alexander's family traces their roots all the way back to the original Dutch Reformed settlers of New York. Alexander was also blind, and he was an accomplished organist, and they got married. It was Alexander who composed many of the tunes for her hymns. And she now worshiped with her husband in a Dutch Reformed church in Manhattan. It was at that church and through some of the connections there that she met a music publisher, and he began paying her for writing hymns, $2 a hymn. And Fanny continued to write hymns. In fact, she wrote her last hymn on February 11th, 1915. And it was the next day, February 12th, 1915, that she died. She wrote hymns right up until the day before she died. A particularly good year for her of writing hymns was 1875. There she penned two hymns that would come to be favorites not only in their own day, but have even stretched now through the century and are favorites in our day. She wrote that year the hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And it was also that year that she wrote the hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. And it was through the life of Fanny Crosby that God was glorified by the writing of these hymns that we even sing to this day. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 minutes in church history. As we wrap up, I've got a quote from the 20th century theologian G.C. Burkauer. He wrote, "God's purposes are in all his activity. When he seems most distant, even concealed, he is often near in judgment. But in the judgment, he never loses sight of his purposes. He compels Israel to ask again for his comforting presence."